Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Home Economics Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Yeah.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we had a guy who called us, his name was Rush something or other. He left a pound of butter on the dashboard.
Oh, yeah.
It melted. It dripped into the heating system. It turned rancid. He wanted to know, how do you get the smell of rancid butter out of the bowels of your Land Rover's heating system? And we got thousands and thousands of calls and letters offering great suggestions.
Well, I think my suggestion was the best. I suggested a fire.
That would do it. And I'm with you. But we got a lot of real practical suggestions. We don't know if they work. Someone said use Febreze, Lysol, a cake of Irish Spring soap. You cut it in half, and it releases the aroma. See, that's our cover.
With the bar of Irish Spring in your hand, it's like taking a shower in Ireland.
And a range of products with great sounding names like Odor Exterminator.
Good name.
Neutrolium Alpha. And the best one I liked the most was Stinky Be Gone, which is made from pulverized lava rocks. Doesn't sound good, right?
Well, and then there was the guy who specialized in getting dead body odors out of cars.
Oh, Uncle Fazio wrote in?
No, must be someone else. He's still in hiding in Corsica. Anyway, this guy recommended leaving like a hubcap full of charcoal briquettes in the car overnight. Bada bing, bada bang, you know, the odor's gone.
Well, we don't know if any of that stuff is going to work, but here's a letter that we thought we ought to read because the discussion of rancid butter apparently brought up some unresolved issues for listeners like Mike Mesma. Here's what he said. In high school advanced chemistry class, we learned the source of the smell that comes from sour milk and rancid butter. It's butyric acid, perhaps the smelliest substance known to man. We actually had a bottle of this stuff.
Hasn't met you.
He says, we had a bottle of this stuff in the lab. I took some out and spread it around my homeroom teacher's door. What a horrible smell. And Mr. Sisson, if you're listening, I'm sorry for all that I did to you. You want that name again? It's Mike Musmar who said that. Well, we don't know what to tell Rush, but it just so happens that later on in the show, we have an expert on such matters who's going to be a guest on this very show. And who else would know these things better than Margaret Stewart?
No, Martha.
Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart is actually going to join us and take your questions about rancid butter in your car or anything else that you think that she's qualified to answer, which, as far as I can tell, is everything.
Well.
Including nuclear physics. Is there anything the woman doesn't know?
We're going to find that out. Anyway, if you have a question you think Martha can help us answer, give us a call at our regular number, which is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. And while our staff is busy decoupaging the studio in honor of Martha's arrival, we'll take car questions, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
We might as well kill some time until she arrives.
Yeah.
It's 1-888-CAR-TALK.
She's probably... What do you think she's probably doing right now? She's probably putting tiles. Where? What would she be tiling?
The dashboard of her car.
The dashboard of her car. Exactly, with Mexican tiles. Yeah, the absorbent kind.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Patrick from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi, Patrick. What's
hey.
Up?
Yeah, I got an 88 Toyota Camry.
Wait a minute, isn't St. Paul next to Minneapolis?
Yes, right next door.
Do you know Les Block?
No, I don't.
Okay, just ask. So what's
How many people live in the greater St. Paul Minneapolis area?
About 2.4 million, I think.
That's a lot of
and
people.
And you don't know Les Block?
Nope.
Where you been, man?
All right, so what's going on?
I got an 88 Toyota Camry.
Yep.
And I got a little problem with it. I get excellent gas mileage in the summer. I get like 30, 35 miles to the gallon in the summer. But in the winter, it goes way, way down to like 10 to 15 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
You're living in a place where it's freezing.
No, but that's I mean, it's normal to have reduced gas mileage in the winter, but that's outrageous. Is it really 10 to 15 versus 35, or are you exaggerating at both ends?
No, I'm not exaggerating. It's right around 15, a little bit less sometimes, a little bit more sometimes, but 30, 35 is really common for me in the summer.
But in the warmer weather, you do a lot more highway driving. You get out to see the scenery, whereas in the winter, you drive just out of necessity, wouldn't you say? That you're
Are you doing everything possible to avoid a technical answer to this poor guy? I mean,
yeah.
Next, you're going to blame it on him? Is that it?
That's
is that what we're leading up to?
So is that true, Patrick, that in the wintertime you tend to do little short little trips? I mean, for example, if you would walk to a store in the nicer weather, you wouldn't walk in the middle of winter because
that's
it's
a good
too
point.
Cold.
Good point.
I do a little more, you know, short trip driving in the winter, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, short trips will really do it. You know, if you take short trips in cold weather, that'll get you down to 5 miles to the gallon.
Okay.
But you might also have something wrong.
Yeah. Do you feel all right? Yeah, I mean, this is a classic case of...
If it's so classic, what are you hemming and hawing
about?
What is this? It's a classic case of temperature.
Yeah, it's a classic case of a faulty thermostat.
Okay. Yeah.
Or a faulty temperature sending unit.
Yeah, but I tend to think it could be more likely a thermostat, because the thermostat is getting open too fast and overcooling the engine. So the engine never really, really gets hot enough, even in cold weather. It isn't a problem in 90-degree summer weather because it gets hot enough even in the absence of a thermostat.
Okay.
I mean, you may have noticed. I hate to ask this question because it is.
This is opening a Pandora's box.
That your heat isn't quite as good as it used to be. Or that if you have a temperature gauge on the dash, that it isn't going quite as high as it used to be. But I won't give you an opportunity to answer that, Patrick. We'll just say goodbye. You may have noticed one of those two things. And if you have, you will know that we could be right. And if you haven't, we won't allow you to say that.
Go ahead. You can say it.
Well, the heat's never really worked in the car, so that's okay.
Excellent. Oh, that's very good.
It may be that you've had lousy heat all the time because you have a thermostat that's opening up at, say, 150 degrees instead of 190.
Okay.
And that would account for your bad mileage.
And that would be cheap to fix, as
and
you well
And we're confident
know.
That that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For your call.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Dana. I'm calling from Denver. I'm actually from Massachusetts, but I'm out here at school now.
Dana from Denver?
Yes.
What are you studying?
I'm not sure yet. Very undeclared.
Probably marine biology. That's a good place for it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. So you obviously have a problem with your car, otherwise you wouldn't have called us. But
yes.
I'm just guessing.
Well, I'm living in Denver, but I drive to the mountains every weekend.
Yeah.
And over Christmas break, I lent my car to a friend, and he didn't return it in the same shape it was in. It's making this kind of whirring, humming noise whenever I turn the wheel to the left anytime. And I hear it the most between 40 and 60 miles an hour, and it's starting to be kind of a vibrating. I can feel it in my left foot on the floor and in the steering wheel.
What kind of noise?
I'm sorry. I have an 88...
You don't want any more information.
No.
My brother doesn't want any more information. He's going to take a wag, as we say, a wild guess.
I'm going to start to say it's a Japanese car.
Nope.
A Volkswagen.
Yep.
That was my second
Okay,
guess.
That's good. A Volkswagen.
That was pretty good. I mean,
Of all the cars, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, the first guess...
Eliminated about 600 million cars.
40% of all the cars on the road.
Yeah.
You should have said, first guess, American? No. Second guess, Japanese? No. Okay, it's a Volkswagen. You'd be pretty much right.
God.
No.
I thought it was pretty good coming up with Volkswagen.
No, it is. It's good. It's good.
Second guess.
It is. It's good.
All right. So you had this noise. I'm going to tell you what I think it is.
Go ahead.
And I don't think it's your friend's fault. How far did your friend drive it?
In about 6 weeks' time, he put about 1,500 miles
That it's perfectly understandable. And when I tell you what's wrong, you're going to apologize to your friend. You have a bad front wheel bearing.
Okay.
And you can probably hear it even when you're going straight ahead. If you were on a very quiet road that was smooth and you got the thing up to, say, 40 miles an hour— you would hear a constant growling noise that sounds like a washing machine on the rinse cycle or whatever. And then when you make a turn, I think when you make a left-hand turn, the noise will be coming from the right front wheel.
Mm-mm.
Well,
you only hear it.
I'm going to guess that she's got a Volkswagen. Am I close? When you take a left-hand turn, you think the noise is coming from the left side of the car?
Yes. It's when I turn slightly to the left from, you know, dead center to any kind of, you know.
Like changing lanes or something.
Yep.
Make the noise. What is
it? It's kind of, and then when you get higher, and if I'm in kind of like third or fourth gear trying to go up a pass, it's even like a higher pitch noise if I'm going around a left-hand corner.
But it is coming from the front of the car.
Front left, yeah.
And if you do to the right, nothing happens.
Nothing happens. A friend looked at the CV joints, and they looked fine. It's not my power steering fluid.
Mm. No, it's a wheel bearing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the right one.
Okay.
It sounds like it's the left.
Yes.
But it's the right. Trust me on this.
Yeah.
It could be the left, but it would be a surprise.
Okay.
You'd be surprised to me if it's even a wheel bearing, actually. No, I think it's a wheel bearing, and the symptom is a classic.
It is a classic.
Actually, you can have a mechanic put it up on the lift and spin the wheels.
And he'll be able to tell.
And he may be able with a stethoscope, he may be able to tell which wheel is coming from.
The mechanic's friend. The
yes.
doctor's stethoscope.
That and the powerboat. See you, Dana.
Thanks.
Hey, good luck.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom from Indianapolis.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. I'm trying to work on the spelling of Indianapolis.
Indianapolis? Yeah. Do you not spell Indian or Indiana?
Yeah, I got that.
It's the Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, right.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Indianapolis, my little Annapolis.
It don't rain in Indianapolis.
So what's going on, Tom?
Well, I have a 91 Honda Accord EX, and I bought it about a year and a half ago. So I knew I was going to have to put some money in it, and I thought I needed new struts, and it was getting about time for brakes because I started to hear them, and so I took it to Midas and got an estimate, and one of the guys said that I had a spring broken.
So they gave you an estimate for $1,950 to do four-way
struts. I don't even remember because I was shopping around, and so I went down the street, and I went to this other place. And I liked this guy because he reminded me of you guys. He was kind of a swarmy Italian guy.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, and he...
Oh, yeah. They'll talk you into anything, yeah.
Okay, so on that day, I had him fix the brakes.
Yeah.
And he called me up and said that one of my calipers was broken. And so I said, all right, go ahead. He said, so he replaced both calipers. Mm. So I asked him, so why did I need both calipers?
And he said,
looked at me and he says,
you always replace them in pairs.
He said, well, yeah, I mean, if you have a broken leg and you get a new leg, you don't want one old leg and one new leg. Right? No,
I'm glad he's not in the amputation business.
Right. So anyway, I was satisfied. What the heck? So then I took it back to get the
It's a little bogus, struts. By the way, Tom.
A little bogus?
That's a little on the bogus side, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's my question is whether this guy's bogus or not. And so anyway, I take it back for the strut job and the spring.
Yeah.
And so again, he says, well, okay, you got to do both springs. And what the heck? You know, I was getting all four struts. What the heck is just one more spring, right?
That's not bogus.
Okay. Cool. So anyway, did that. Next time I went back, you're not going to believe this, he had a huge cabin cruiser. So then I got worried.
Did he name it after you?
I think so.
You never bring your boat to work. What kind of a fool is this guy?
Come on.
Well, the thing about the calipers, I mean, I wouldn't condemn him for replacing the other caliper.
Uh-huh.
He may have seen some signs of the slide mechanism starting to stick and whatever, so it's possible that that was all right.
Yeah. It's possible, but there's not a general rule that says if you replace the one on the right, you got to replace the one on the left.
Well, see,
that's
what I'm saying is this guy is really into symmetry. I think it's a neurosis. because he says you should have all four tires replaced on your car at the same time. You shouldn't have different brands of tires on your car, and now I have three different kinds of tires on my car.
Oh, so he's going for X-axis symmetry and Y-axis symmetry.
Yeah, when he starts with the Z, right.
Symmetry all over the place.
Excellent.
Yeah, so my question is this guy neurotic, or is there some validity in this symmetry
idea? We don't have a lot of data here, because you could explain away the caliper thing.
In the spring, if you've got it off, you might as well put a new one on. In fact, some of the companies that sell replacement springs, I know when we buy them, not from the dealer, you must buy them in pairs.
Okay.
So it's possible the only way he got them was two in a box.
Yeah, and if you have one spring that's old and one that's new, the spring is really what's holding up the car. You could have a little cockeyedness when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we can condemn the guy outright here.
Okay.
I mean, this is interesting.
Well, I don't think I would have two different brands of tire on the front if I didn't have to.
No, but he's saying all four.
Yeah, well, I didn't go for that.
No.
He wasn't selling the tires anyway, but... Yeah,
so he's not crazy, and so far it sounds like he's been okay for you.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
Okay. All right, well, I'm glad that we put your mind to rest.
Okay.
See you, Tom.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
See you later. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Do I remember last week's puzzler?
You don't remember Diddly, do you?
Diddly who?
That's what I thought. Well, it's a touching story of love and personal magnetism. It's the story of Krusty's fifth wedding, and I'll have the details in just a minute.
I can't remember.
I didn't think so.
And even though conductors keel over into their orchestra pits whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. This is the heartwarming story of Krusty's fifth wedding, or sixth, or something, I don't remember exactly. Krusty, of course, you may remember, was a former employer of ours at the garage, and he was on his way to meet his bride at a chapel quite a distance from home. I think it was in Unadilla, New York, in fact.
That's quite a distance from everything.
And she had already warned him, if he's late, the wedding's off. So he fires up his most reliable car, his 65 Falcon, and makes his way across Massachusetts onto Route 7 in New York.
Yeah.
Famous Route 7.
I remember it.
Okay. Anyway, all's right with the world when all of a sudden the car backfires, cuts out, and coasts to the side of the road. And he immediately figures out that his points have burned out. And he says, geez, I should have changed those before I left. If only I had another set of points. As luck would have it, he opens the glove box, and there's a shiny new set of ignition points sitting right there.
Wow.
And furthermore, his entire toolkit is in the trunk.
Wow.
I mean, what serendipity, huh?
Wow.
Of course, his toolkit consists of a screwdriver, a jackknife, and a hammer. So he opens the hood, takes off the distributor cap, and proceeds to remove that little screw that holds the breaker points.
I remember it now.
He deftly removes the screw, and he installs the new points. And as he is putting the screw back in, he drops it. And where does it go? Inside the distributor.
Everyone has had this happen to him.
And, of course, he can't get it out. He can see it. He can even touch it with the screwdriver, but he can't get at it. And he knows that he's done for. So he runs to the trunk and finds what you normally find in a trunk, salami sandwich, the bumper jack. And he first thinks of jacking up the car and tipping it on its roof, but dismisses that because he thinks it might ruin the paint. He also finds a 50-pound bag of Iams dog food,
mm-hmm.
not to be confused with Ewam's dog food, a junky old lamp that he bought at a yard sale, that was going to be the wedding present for his bride, and a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
Using one or a combination of these items, plus his toolkit, He manages to extricate the screw in a matter of seconds, maybe minutes, certainly. And he doesn't tip the car over. How did he do it? So he had, you ready? Salami sandwich, bumper jack, 50-pound bag of dog food, an old lamp, and a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil, and, of course, his toolkit, the screwdriver, the jackknife,
and
the
hammer.
Wow. What does he do? What does he do?
I have to say, I'm baffled by this one. I'm baffled. But I know it's going to be great.
You do, huh?
Yeah. Well, I remember now when you stated this puzzle last week, I said it must have something to do with the lamp.
You're right.
But I couldn't figure out what.
You couldn't figure it out.
Nah.
He takes the lamp cord, realizes that this isn't going to be his bride's wedding present after all. And he cuts the cord.
With the knife.
With the knife. He then bares, with his jackknife, he then bares the ends of the cord so he has a wire with the insulation removed.
Yeah.
He then wraps that lamp cord around the screwdriver and touching the bare ends to the battery, and turns his screwdriver into an
electromagnet.
And in the second he pulls out the screw, and before the lamp cord catches fire, he installs the screw, sets the points, and he's 2 hours late for the wedding. She was gone when he got there. But he did make it. You know, I mean, the moral of the story is that you can make it if you have to, but he was a little late.
Wow.
Wow. So that's it.
Electromagnet.
Who would have thought, right?
Beats me.
So anyway, who's our winner?
The winner this week is Bill Corbett from Castine, Maine. Really? And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Bill is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. And with that gift certificate, he can get a copy of our CD, Car Talk Cartoons.
The CD is tax deductible, right?
Well, you can file it under capital losses of good taste if you want. I don't know.
Hey, usually we'd have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, but this week we gave the puzzler a much-deserved week off.
And that's too bad, because that means the puzzler won't get to meet who? Martha Stewart.
Indeed. Well, that was the idea, actually.
I guess you wouldn't want Martha meeting the puzzler in the broken, bitter mood he's been in.
Hey, by the way, I did want to mention, the puzzler does have 911 accrued sick days.
The puzzler
an employee or a contract laborer?
Wait.
Because the puzzler has taken some well-deserved vacations.
Vacations? The puzzler takes every summer off.
All right. Hiatuses? Sabbaticals?
Whatever. What is this, an academic institution? We don't give sabbaticals.
What about, everyone gets sick days. The puzzler has not called in sick once.
That is true.
Time to cash it in, baby.
That means he can retire 3 years early.
Okay. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Patricia from the beautiful mountains of Asheville, North Carolina.
Hi, Patricia.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's wonderful up here.
Oh, good. So what's up?
I have a wonderful 1996 Lexus 400, LS400.
Yeah.
And my husband and I were wondering if you could figure out what caused our car to behave in some really strange fashion.
Mm.
A couple of months ago, he was moving the car from one position on the driveway to another. He put it in neutral and let it roll down about 10 feet and then put it back into park. And about an hour later, we went to take the car and go for a drive. And when he started it up, it didn't start. It sounded like, you know, when a starter is going bad, that sound.
Mm-hmm.
But give me that sound again. Was it a grind? Was it a grinding sound or a humming sound?
It was kind of like a humming sound.
Okay.
Then the next thing he did was he started it up again, and this time a huge cloud of blue smoke came out from under the hood. And it started sounding like a tractor, an old kind of farm tractor, you know, clunk, 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 you know?
Really?
Yeah. And and so he shut it off again.
Yeah.
And and so he started it up again.
And it ran like a dream.
After making some funny noises, it ran like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it has never happened since.
Hmm. Really?
And we wondered if you bright guys could tell us, hey, you know, don't ever do that again because this happened and that happened.
Oh,
and
I wish we could do that.
It's pretty clear that you've got to do it again.
Well, first of all, I mean, we are not going to say that because, A, we're baffled, and, two, it's very unusual.
Really?
But it doesn't mean we don't have any theories or that we can't come up with a couple in a few minutes. You do have a few minutes, don't you?
You have two sane human beings that were watching this happen. So,
I mean, we got two different things that happened. One is it appeared as though the starter didn't work.
That's what it sounded like.
He turned the key to the start position, and it went,
Yeah, yes, that's good, yeah.
So, I mean, what that means is that the starter was turning, but the solenoid didn't engage.
Uh-huh. Okay. Then what caused the blue
smoke? That's strange. That's strange right in and of itself.
Right there, that makes no sense. I mean, there's nothing that could have happened, at least I can think of, when you roll the car 10 feet that would make the starter not work. But there may have been something wrong with the starter already, and it had to happen sometime, and it may have happened at that particular moment.
But
let's work
not
with that for a minute.
Here's what happened, I believe.
You're going to give us a complete theory?
Not really.
No. Okay.
No. I'm going to give you a piece, and I'm going to leave it to the listener
to figure
out the rest.
I mean, I've got a bit of a theory. Go ahead. Give me yours first.
Well,
because I know mine is more wacky than yours.
Does it have to do with anything that flies? Here's my theory.
Go ahead.
I don't know what happened when you roll the car back. Maybe nothing.
Nothing.
When you tried to start it and the starter didn't engage.
That's my theory.
When you turn the key to the crank position, you turn on the electric fuel pump. And a couple of the injectors began to spray gasoline into a couple of the cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did it again. And the same thing happened again. And it happened to the same cylinder or cylinders because the engine hadn't turned at all.
Uh-huh.
Then it finally did start, and it ran lousy because you were running on 7 cylinders instead of 8, or maybe 6 cylinders instead of 8.
And you had an excess of gasoline in there, which would cause a huge cloud of black smoke.
I see.
And may even cause the thing to backfire under the hood.
Sure.
And then once that cleared out and you revved it up and blew all the stuff out of the converter and those plugs were cleaned off, it began to run okay.
Right. So everything makes sense so far, except the original strange behavior of the dog.
Right. So we don't know, first of all, why was he backing the car? I mean, he had the key. I mean, why didn't he just start it up?
Yeah.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld saying to the Chinese, they've seen the fork. I mean, he had the key.
He had the key. The only missing piece now is why didn't it start when he first turned the key? And the answer is coincidence. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
That's your theory.
Well, but it's obvious. You've got to run out right now. Drop whatever you're doing. And you've got to do this again.
Is the car there now?
Yes, but the husband isn't.
Well,
and I think you have to have all three components.
You have to promise us that he's going to duplicate the thing as best he can and call us back.
Okay.
Will you do that, Patricia?
Oh, certainly.
See you, Patricia.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Doug from Winchester, Virginia.
Hi, Doug. What's going on, man?
Well, when I get a new car, I like to drive it until I'm completely out of gas. And that way I can tell
where is empty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when the light goes on, I know how many miles I have left.
Are you otherwise a cheapskate?
No, I just don't like to fill up.
Because it's time consuming.
It's time consuming. But my fiance, on the other hand, she's afraid of running out of gas, and she fills up as soon as it gets to half empty. And she tells me if I run out of gas, that I will damage the fuel injectors. Is that true?
No.
No, I don't believe so. Although there are lots of warnings in owner's manuals to not run cars out of gas. And they even go so far as to have a warning light on the dashboard for a lot of cars. So they alert you well in advance of your running out. So when that low fuel light comes on, the idea is that most normal people would go and fill up. you obviously don't want to do that. You want to wait and find out how much farther you can go with the light on.
Yeah, I do that. And not, once I know that, sometimes I end up coasting into a gas station down hills with the engine off because I've stretched it as far as I can.
Yeah. I mean, how much can you gain out of this?
Well, I drive 100 miles a day, and so I'd rather fill up every 4 days rather than every 3 days.
Well, maybe you can arrange for your fiance to fill up on those days that you don't want to fill up. What if she were responsible for filling up the car, and you were relieved of that responsibility?
Well, we don't have to argue about that because we have separate cars.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the, why don't you just swap cars when yours needs refueling? And only will you avoid the going to the gas station, you'll also avoid paying for it.
Yes, and then it's on her credit card, too.
All right, so tell us, what kind of a car do you have?
I have a Subaru Forester.
Okay, so you determined when the low fuel light comes on in your Forester, you have how many miles left? I'm sure other Forester owners are dying to know this.
I usually allow myself about 15 miles.
That's it, huh?
That's all.
Well, I'm not willing to run out of gas.
Well, you said you did.
Well, I do it the first time.
And how long did it take then?
I don't remember.
Doug, this is vital information.
You got, what's the sense of
like Mr. Einstein, what was that formula again? E equals MC squared M, I don't know.
There's a difference between 1 mile and 15 miles.
There is a difference, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know I have gone many more than 15 miles with the low fuel light on.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you why I know this. Tommy and Doug Berman and I get to test drive all the new cars that come out. And by accident once, I don't know how it happened, but
baloney.
I gave Doug a car that had very little fuel in the tank, and I think he ran out of gas.
See, we swap cars every few days. So the one that Doug is driving, he gives to me. The one I'm driving, I give to my brother. And we just go on and on and on swapping cars.
Well, ever since that time that I inadvertently left him with no gas, he's been retaliating for like 15 years now. So, and of course, if he's going to retaliate, I've got to be ready to respond in kind. And
we
so,
caught Doug one time.
Putting 50 cents worth of gas.
No, he was sitting in the car with the engine running because it wasn't down low enough. And he knew he was swapping with my brother.
But I will tell you from personal experience that on more than one model, you can drive a good 30 or 40 miles with that, yeah, with that low fuel light on.
And if I run out, will I damage the fuel injector?
Well, no, you won't damage the fuel injector. Some companies claim that you will damage the catalytic converters because I think what they don't want to happen are two things. They don't want you to try to start the car and have it not start and backfire and create like little explosions in the exhaust system, which could damage the honeycomb of the converter.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason, I think, is that they don't want the fuel pump to be not submerged in gas. You know, the fuel pump is inside the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they don't want the fuel pump to run dry because that could be either injurious to the pump or injurious maybe to the occupants if something were to happen.
So my plan of attack is the next time I get a new car, I'll do it once anyway and then just go on.
I think you got to just go for the gusto, man. It's just, yeah.
Well, I mean, you do have a low fuel light in the Forester.
I mean,
why isn't it just as good to, when the light comes on, fill it up immediately and find out what's there?
Because I live in a place where there can be 20 miles between stations.
He needs to know that he can make it that 20 miles.
That's the issue.
So what other weirdo things do you do, Doug, that we can alert your fiancé to before you make the plunge?
Actually, I mean, when you do this, do you carry a gallon of gas with you?
When I run it out on purpose, I do, yes.
Yeah. No, I think it's not a bad idea.
You do, huh?
I do.
Oh, yeah. I think you're doing a great job, Doug. Keep it up. But tell your fiance.
What's the question? Is there a question?
Is there? He's doing any damage when he runs it out?
Oh,
and we answered that.
Yeah, we did answer that.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
I don't think it's the right answer, but we answered it. And thanks for your call, Doug.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Hey, Tommy, we need to take a break because we're about to enter another dimension here.
Really? Which one? Time?
No.
Space?
No. Martha! We'll be back with our special guest, Martha Stewart, who will take your calls with us in just a minute.
Engine sits behind me, gas tank at my knees. The car smells like gasoline, but I keep it clean. hurtling mass of metal, yeah, you're going down the road doing 60. Hurtling mass of metal, yeah, you're going down the road looking nifty.
And even though listeners wonder whether they've got some kind of weird one-hour virus whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the proper way to embroider a tea cozy for your catalytic converter. We are pleased and shocked to welcome our dear friend to Car Talk Plaza, the one and only Martha Stewart.
Margaret!
How are you?
I am very well, and I'm very happy to be here.
We really are shocked. But the truth of the matter is that you know answers that we could never know. And we keep getting these questions, and we say, what are we, Martha Stewart? And we don't have to be anymore.
I think that's what started all. And then my daughter Alexis emailed you guys to tell you to make fun of me in person.
Indeed.
Yes, she did.
And she goaded us into having you on our show. And we're going to put you to the test today. We're going to have some people call up and ask questions about various things. You'll notice that we brought in a Schefflera plant.
Know the name.
It's a Schefflera.
Yes.
One of those, my brother stole it from the lobby of the building.
Well, I didn't steal it, actually. I just borrowed it.
Those ubiquitous houseplants that don't really do too well in cars, actually.
No, they don't, but they're hard to kill, I've noticed.
They are.
I've got plants that grow in my car.
Oh, yes? Like what?
Well, when you park a convertible under a tree, stuff falls from the tree into the car.
So maple trees and chestnut trees sort of sprout up
in
the cracks?
What do I know? Trees.
You can't really tell when they become
things.
Adults.
And then stuff would actually sprout.
Oh, well.
And start growing in the back seat.
Do you ever put the top up?
We can't anymore. The trees are too tall. 1-888-227-8255. That's 1-888-T-COZY. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
1-888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from San Francisco.
How you
doing? Mark.
I drive a 1999 Chevy Tahoe, and I have three dogs, which I take to work with me every day. Plus, as part of my business, I transport other dogs. So the net result is I have dogs in my car every day of the year, which means my car really, really reeks of dog. There's a layer of crusted drool on all the windows with nose and tongue print highlights.
Crusted drool. I like that.
I like that, too.
And there's dog hair everywhere. Even after and a professional hair. Car wash with the $3 extra for the added air freshener, my car still stinks. What do I do?
Now, if you weren't here, Martha.
Right. What would you
we
say?
We would attempt an answer at this. See, we know nothing about it. We don't know. We have dogs. But what do we know about hair, and especially?
Well, I have three dogs and eight cats, and I put old bathroom towels, big bath towels, on the seats and on the backs of the seats and on the floor where the dogs sit.
Of course, good idea.
And then you just take them out after the trip, you wash them, you put them back. And so that gets the stink, and the rest of the car doesn't get the stink. And I also love to drive with the windows down when the dogs are in the car. And now if they're going to jump out the windows, I have leashes on them and they're attached.
So
to
they strangle.
No. So
they go bouncing along down the road. That's nice.
They are attached to the seatbelts because. But my dogs are very well behaved and they don't jump out the windows.
I'll bet they are.
They are.
But what about the crusted drool? I mean.
Well, I think that, you know, rolling down the windows is a good idea, first of all. And then I think that a wipe up. Would be a really good thing after each ride. You just have to.
What's a wipe up?
A wipe up. You have a damp cloth and you wipe up.
Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
It's similar to a rub down. The opposite. You wipe up. You got to do it. In other words, you got to do it quickly.
Because once it gets crusted, yeah. Every day.
Yeah, I think it's the encrustation.
Yeah, I don't think, Mark, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I get the sense that you're not willing to be that diligent about it.
No, I suspect not. But what do I do now that the smell is already there?
Well, air freshener will not do you any good whatsoever. In fact, I find air fresheners really depressing.
Because they smell bad.
They're worse than smell.
But my wife has banned me from putting our triplets in this car.
I don't blame her.
So, I mean, I need to figure out something, Martha.
Get another car for the triplets.
That's the easy answer.
Come Come on, that's something we would have told
him. and wash the car. Just wash it down inside and out. One really good washing and see if that helps.
And then
helps.
Use the towels and blankets.
Yes, definitely.
I like that idea.
Bake a few apple pies in the car.
Use that cigarette lighter attachment.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for calling, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk with Martha Stewart.
Outstanding.
Outstanding is right.
Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good. This is Naomi calling from Chicago.
Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Here's my difficulty. Somebody wrote on my car in indelible marker. How do I get it off without ruining the finish of the car?
Wait a minute now. These questions seem to be like Hints for Heloise questions. You're not a Hints for Heloise person. I mean, you're...
No, but I'll tell her...
You're tiling your dashboard with Mexican tiles. That's what you do.
I will tell her what not to do.
Ah, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a really beautiful 1959 Mercedes when I first got married. It was my husband's college car, and it was really beautiful, pale yellow, that really nice yellow creamy one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we parked it under a tree, sap dripped all over it, and I knowing nothing and never having had a Mercedes in my life.
That's because you didn't know Martha Stewart then.
That's right.
Right.
I took to it with Brillo and Ajax.
Ah.
Oh, that's good. No.
That's exactly what we were going to recommend, Naomi.
No, I like my car.
Yeah, don't do that. I'm telling you, don't do that.
Okay, my brother's fall
like the worst. No,
okay. My brother's fallback position is always fire.
There are solvents that take away the wonderful writing of those lovely Sharpie pens.
Okay.
And there are. And go to the art store where they sell the Sharpies, the stationery store, and ask them for the appropriate solvent.
Oh, the antidote.
And then really quickly wipe it off, and then really quickly put on one of your nice little waxes, car waxes, and it'll be just as good as new.
Okay.
What, pray tell, did they write on your car?
Well, I teach.
Is this something you can say on the air?
It actually is, yes.
Okay.
I teach in a public middle school.
In which case, we're not interested.
But no, I think that's where it happened, you see. I can't prove it, but somebody wrote the letter F on the back of my car.
What kind of a car do you have?
I have a cranberry red 1991 Ford Escort.
And you're worried about a little writing on it?
I love my car, guys. Come on.
But the writing may add to the aura.
I don't think so.
And the mystique.
I know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Get the solvent. Get that off there right away.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for calling, Naomi.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks, Martha.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I love this.
I love this, too. Martha does all the heavy lifting.
She does all
the
work.
Give out the number.
And she probably knows the right answers. Of course, how would we know?
How would you
She
know?
Might be just as full of baloney as we are.
What?
She thinks we know the right answers about the cars.
We are known as trusted authority for the home.
Oh, yeah?
And that's
who's
very,
we? You?
We. Martha Stewart. Everyone at Martha Stewart.
There
Living.
Are two of you.
And this economy.
I knew you weren't the real one.
You're the Martha Stewart lookalike.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk with Click and Clack and Martha Stewart.
Hi, my name is Chuck, and I'm from Wilmore, Kentucky.
Hi, Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Hi, and this question is for all three of you, and it's a three-part question.
No, we're off duty. But go ahead.
As an occasional wedding guest, I am sometimes asked to help decorate the getaway car. Could you give some suggestions for decorating materials or strategies that are A, festive but not destructive, B, distinctive, as in what's the right way to form a shaving cream rosette, and C, reusable? For example, is there a table decoration one could make from rice, balloons, toilet paper, and Vaseline?
Hey.
Wait, let me write these down. Rice, toilet paper, Vaseline.
Wow.
And balloons.
And balloons.
So we want to make something that's festive, distinctive, and out of reusable products.
Exactly.
That's pretty hard. The reusable part's the hard part.
Yeah, especially the shaving cream.
Yeah, well, shaving cream, yeah. Crepe paper. What I like to do we publish weddings, so we have to do a lot of car decorating.
Yes.
How many magazines have you got going now?
Well, basically, Martha Stewart Living, 12 times a year. we have, and that full of good things and good ideas and time-saving as well as time-expending ideas. we have weddings, which comes out four times a year.
Hang on there, Chuck. Don't go away. This won't take too long.
We have special issues, for holidays and for baby and kids and those kinds of ideas. But as far as decorating the car goes, there are nice things you can do, but none of them really fit all those categories. I mean, you can do the crepe paper with the old shoes hanging off the back. But then you litter up the street, and some people might get mad at you.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Balloons are nice. But again, you have to worry about if you put those helium balloons on the back of the car, that they'll go up into the trees, and then the birds are going to eat them and choke to death. And so it's kind of nice, maybe brown paper bags that'll be dragged along the back and drop rice or puffed wheat or something on the road so that there's something... can
puffed
eat it.
Weed,
now,
it?
I heard that rice isn't used at weddings anymore because it, in fact, is fatal to birds.
Raw rice is really difficult for a bird to, and raw pasta is really bad for birds. So you have to think of things like, that's why I'm saying puffed rice or puffed wheat, because they can eat that. Or you can even do real bird seed, which would be even better. But then you have to worry about letting it fall in the road, and then the birds come down into the road, and then they get run over. So,
better not to get married at all. I found that to be true a couple of times.
I think. What
I maybe a third as soon as I get home.
So to be very very practical, I would suggest other things like use a jet ski to go away. And go off into the sunset on the water.
I love it.
Sail away or get on a train. You know,
right,
make the vehicle more exciting than the noise and the clank and the tin cans and the old shoes.
That's passé. I mean, the tin cans and the old shoes.
It's not really passé. I think it's kind of fun.
When I got married, they didn't have to tie the tin cans to my car. It already sounded like the tin cans attached to it.
Tin can hadn't been invented. There were papyrus scrolls tied to them.
So I'd apply for another job if I were you.
Good luck, Chuck.
Okay, well, thanks.
And thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. But I like the idea of going away on a sailboat or
The nicest getaway was really the jet ski thing.
The jet ski is cute.
Yeah.
In the gown, the whole thing just zoomed away.
Right on. I love it.
What I like more about this was all the little magazine-y things that you're doing, making a ton of money.
Maybe
you could give us some guidance.
Yeah, we need some hints.
I mean, we're slaving away over these hot microphones.
But
I do
a radio show, too, and you know what?
You do.
That's the funnest thing I do.
Yeah, because you can do it naked.
Well, you can. I always say I can go in my pajamas and do it, you know?
Well, I hope you appreciate the fact that we did get dressed up today.
I mean, noticed.
Usually we do the show in our jammies.
Well, you look really neat. I don't know if all your listeners know what you look like, but the guys are actually real cute girls. They're really cute.
Yeah. Well, we've told them that already.
But they need to know from another woman.
Oh, yes, indeed. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk with Martha Stewart.
Hi, my name is Roland. I'm calling from Las Vegas. And my question for Martha is, how long should I drive my 1988 Nissan Sentra with a whole chicken wrapped in aluminum foil sitting on the intake manifold before I can consider it done?
Is that a live chicken or a dead chicken?
In this case, it would be a dead one.
Is it already cooked from the barbecue store?
Oh, no. No.
You're cooking it?
I am cooking it.
What he's referring to is, a few years ago, maybe more, a couple of guys wrote a book called Manifold Destiny. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
In which they had a cookbook, in fact, in which they gave you the times for cooking various
things.
Well,
it's like washing lettuce in the washing machine.
Or doing your dishes in the shower.
Right.
But a whole chicken.
But you know what worries me about that is the aluminum foil.
Really?
See, I don't cook in aluminum
foil. She knows everything. Why?
Well, if you're not allowed to cook in aluminum pots and pans because, you know, all that threat, you know, all the scares about Alzheimer's and aluminum, why cook in aluminum foil? It's the same
stuff.
Oh,
my brother's been using aluminum pans for... Oh, I rest my case.
What are you talking about? You have a brother?
Oh, that explains a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, you're absolutely right, though.
See? So you have to worry about stuff like that.
So without aluminum foil, Roland, you're cooked, so to speak, uncooked.
No, you can use aluminum foil in a certain way, but you have to wrap the chicken first, like in parchment paper.
Oh, I see.
Which you have to make yourself in the bathtub.
Right.
So the aluminum foil doesn't actually touch the chicken.
That's right. Yeah, just as long as you can use foil all you want, as long as it doesn't touch the food. I never let it touch the surface of my food.
And the parchment, the Martha Stewart parchment, what's that, like $1 a foot or something?
Oh, less than that.
Less than
that.
A few cents a foot, and it only comes in 1,000-foot rolls.
But some of your neighbors and friends, you know.
Everyone needs parchment. They just don't know it.
You got it. I always suggest that you buy the big box of 400 sheets and share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends.
Right. And you'll never know. You may be called upon by a local high school to do some diplomas or something.
In your spare time. Learn calligraphy.
But we need to address the cooking time.
The time.
And you need to have a thermometer on hand so you can periodically, I would imagine,
over. From Las Vegas to maybe Chicago.
Oh, no, you kidding me? You could go a horse in that distance.
I think maybe just Las Vegas to, maybe L.A. Palm Springs. Palm Springs. You'll have a really good cooked chicken.
Split it
in half, though, first. Before you, don't do it whole. Just split it in half. It cooks faster.
You won't even recognize it when it's done.
And then refer to the former call about the dog smell in the car.
Right. How do you get
the chicken smell?
Oh, you know, you will never get that smell out of your car either.
Chicken smell worse than
when
they're dead.
Why do you want to cook on the manifold? Is this like a lifelong dream?
I figured burgers would be a little messy and I'd have to pull over to flip them.
Hey, good luck on your way to Palm Springs.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
See you, Roland.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've underutilized another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our time went by so quickly. Mm. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion. Cute, cute, cute. Where did that come from? Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his photo finish at the Coeur d'Alene Tater Tots Toss, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our employee refrigerator monitor is Carmen Dating. Our director of Pavlovian Research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Yulu Astui, known to the housewives with glue guns camped outside our office in Harvard Square as Yui Louie Dewey. Thank you, Martha Stewart, for joining us. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And don't use an oil filter to sift your pastry flour.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1312, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Sylvia Poggioli orders a coordinated Kevlar camisole and pith helmet whenever she hears me say it, this is NPR,